on the second side of the first page, it says page vav. The subject that we're discussing, we began to discuss last week, is Simcha. Yeah, I have an extra second. The subject of Simcha. It's a maimer from Reb Israel Tauber that I feel brings up many of the things that we need to talk about. Without spending too much time going over last week's discussion, he was wondering, as we all are wondering, is why is it that this seems to be in our time now, there seems to be such a terrible lack of simcha. Now that we have more than our parents and grandparents ever could have imagined having, davke, there's so little simcha. We talked a lot about that last week. And Rav Tauber was thinking about the contrast between the sukkahs that he experienced in the Tavshin Ayin Gimel just last year, the sukkahs where he was at an event, and sounds like it was an event in Yerushalayim, where there are many people who were being recognized for kids, or bachim that were being recognized for completing a tremendous amount of learning. And he was thinking back that 70 years had passed since the sukkahs that he remembered when his father was able to miraculously get away with building a sukkah during the time of the Holocaust, where they were hiding and they were masquerading as goyim. And Rabbi Tauber is explaining how that sukkahs of the sukkahs of Tavshin Gimel of 1943, the simcha, the joy that he recalls experiencing, and in a discussion with his father once on a later sukkahs, his father was sitting with the children and grandchildren in a beautiful sukkah, and his father said that he remembered very well the sukkahs during the war in Tavshin Gimel, and that ever since then he's been trying to taste a little bit of the simcha of that sukkahs from years ago. So the question is, why is that? Why is that? Why is there such a difference? Davki during that time of difficulty, when they had to build a sukkah in a lumber yard, disguised as goyim, with a couple of boards and to throw some schach on top, and they were afraid to get caught, they would be killed. That sukkah was a sukkah of such simcha that they can't find all the years, those 70 years. Rabbi Tauber says he hasn't been able to have such a simcha when it comes to sukkahs. And what we were talking about is the difference between a Yiddishkeit that is standard behavior and that's required behavior, a Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim that's imposed upon a person from outside of ourselves, and when a person's Yiddishkeit is an act of Mesiris Nefesh and an act of choice, a matter of choice and love. They didn't have to build that secret sukkah in Tavshin Gimel. They didn't have to. According to halacha, one does not risk one's life. You certainly don't have to risk your life to build a sukkah. And they didn't have to, but they wanted to. And that wanting that brought out a choice that came from love to please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do something to give Nachas Ruach to Hashem, in there lies the possibility of joy of simcha. Wherever there's choice, wherever there's bechira, wherever there's a conscious decision to do something to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyocha, so there is the possibility of simcha. So on page Peivav, four lines down from the bottom of the second side of the first page, four lines down. Rabbi Tauber is saying it wasn't pleasant sitting in that sukkah in Tavshin Gimel in 1943. Like Yishutim, V'leimokam Noach, there were no decorations, and it was very uncomfortable. As we saw last week, it was barely the required height. They had to crouch down and to hide in the sukkah. It's Tzvifus, and of course they were crowded. It was him, his father, and his uncle. V'mihirus, and they had to quickly make kiddush and to quickly eat a little piece of bread to be yotzei the mitzvah. B'chashecha, and of course it was pitch dark. They were afraid to put on any light over there. Ach davka oz misperetzes hasimcha b'mloi uza. But davka then, we felt an explosion of joy. Kasher ha'adam poil pu'ula l'man Hashem Yisbarach. When a person feels that he is doing something that he doesn't have to do, he is doing something because he wants to do it for the sake of Hashem. Bilti l'Hashem levadai. And he has no other cheshbon. There's no ulterior motive. It's bilti l'Hashem levadai. It's only for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hu lo choshev al atzmai. He's not thinking about himself, about having to fit in to the chevra, about pleasing my parents, pleasing my rebbe. It's built in Lashem Levada. We didn't sit in that sukkah for ourselves. Up then they weren't chayv to sit in the sukkah. And they didn't have any joy or pleasure physically sitting in the sukkah. They were risking their lives. But Davki says, "Po yotzam anakorach elapol b'mloi ha'oitzma." But Davki, in that sukkah of Tavshin Gimel of 1943, there emerged minakorach elapol in reality, b'mloi ha'oitzma, in all of its strength, ha'ahava, the great love that a Jew has. As it says in Pasuk, "Hein yikteleini loyayachel." Even though you will kill me, even if you'll kill me, I still turn to you. I have hope in you. I still believe in you. Even if you'll kill me, I still believe in you. Shel Elokai, gam im tisrefeini be'esh, ve'oisif kim li'ahava oischa. Like it's brought down in the Rishonim, Chabbis Lavabas, one of them from a tzaddik, a certain chassid, a great tzaddik, who said, Elokai, gam im tisrefeini be'esh, even if you burn me in a fire, which was happening to him, I'll only continue to love you. So yeshiva sukkah zu shel shnas tavshim gimel. So that sukkah that they sat in during the war, mitziyusa haisa shanachnu avadnu es Hashem. It was very simple. We made the choice to serve Hashem, to do this for Hashem. Le'akadosh Baruch Hu shireis oisano. Now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing something for us, that he was serving us. Kayoim, however, nowadays, La'acha Shivim Shana, after 70 years have passed, Shehir Chiv Hashem Ohaleinu, Bo Hashem, things are much better. Vonu Yoishvim Kulanu Chayim Hayom, we're all sitting together, alive today, B'sukkas Merav Chayim before us, and beautiful, beautiful big sukkas, Mugolim b'safnukim mechayi tanugos, and we become very used to all kinds of good things, pleasures and good things. Chayi aruach shalanu alulu niyos achayim lagamri. But aruchnius has turned into something else completely. Aruchnius is different. Onu miskashrim l'teira ulamitzvus al manas shalanu yietoiv v'gishmak. We keep Torah and mitzvahs in such a way that it should be good for us. Elonu yetoiv v'gishmak. We're coming up. There's going to be yontiv. I think three day yontivs. It's coming. Yontiv, 3 day yontivs, and there are going to be thousands and thousands of Jews and Galus. They're going to be krechzing 3 days. That the Baruch Hashem did to us such a terrible thing. He made 3 days yontiv. What's going to happen to my hair? Kaidim called the young girls. What's going to happen to my hair? What's going to happen to my skin? What's going to happen to my stomach? Somebody's forcing me to eat all of these things. And how hard it is. It is hard for the women to prepare 3 days yontiv. When it's when it's 2 days, or in Eretz Yisrael it's 1 day, there's a 1 day yontiv, that's really nice. That's really geschmack. That's the kind of yontiv that if I would be God, I would have given a yontiv like that. I wouldn't be giving 3 day yontivs to hurt my children. I'd be giving a 1 day yontiv, or at most, a 2 day yontiv. So even for such a thing, the Baruch Shalom is giving us 3 days of yontiv, it's not uncommon for people to say, and certainly to think, that this long yontiv is an inconvenience for me. Ki'ilu yontiv, ki'ilu, the Baruch Shalom has to serve me on yontiv. And the whole inyan of yontiv, forget that I don't have to, I'm not going up to Yerushalayim, walking to Yerushalayim, to the Euler Regel, and to go to take karbanos. We're sitting in our comfortable homes. And we're enjoying whatever food we want to eat. You don't have to eat everything, by the way. We're enjoying whatever food we want to. And we have Baruch Hashem, we're sleeping in our own beds and we're comfortable in our own homes. Still, since that type of a yontiv is not serving my needs, for whatever reason, I'm not getting enough rest and relaxation on this yontiv as I would like. So already the yontiv is not so good. The yontiv is not so geschmack. The next thing he brings, this is a very, very big topic. I'm sure some of you have noticed the obscene advertisements that are now, these glossy advertisements all of our, from newspapers, which I find to be abhorrent and disgusting, to be Christian, mamish in the way that they talk about tzedakah. 24-hour hotline. Quickly send your $104 for this schooler, and then they show these pictures that they made. The pictures are lies, where they take pictures of different tzaddikim and they put them together as if they're sitting together one place in Amuka, and that it said recently, this last one they had was saying it's guaranteed you're going to have a shidduch if you send us this money, and it's 24 hours Visa credit card. And all of these different things, and they even managed to find, you know, between Tu B'Shvat and Purim, they find also in a sefer some skula. I'm not saying there aren't skulas, and it's not a chashuva thing for tzaddikim to daven. But the inyan of giving tzedakah has become, what can you get from giving tzedakah? What's in it for me? What do I get out of this tzedakah? It was always the giving tzedakah was, what can you do for somebody else? Not to say that these Jews are not trying to help other people. Everybody's good, and everybody wants to help other people. That's for sure true. But they're appealing to this part of us that is trying to get something out of tzedakah. The Gemara talks about a person who gives tzedakah al menashe yichye b'ni. I'm going to give tzedakah on the condition, Hashem, that my son is going to live, my child who is sick is going to live. So the Gemara discusses whether or not that's a legitimate motivation when it comes to giving tzedakah. Is that legitimate? But what's become of tzedakah, and the way that it's, and the way that it's being used as a gimmick, as a skula, kila, the whole inyan of the goodness of a Jew is to get something out of it, to get a shidduch and to become richer and to get all kinds of refuahs and yeshuas, and the way they're written up and the ridiculous stories that they tell and make up and all exaggerations about this happened and that happened, and they have witnesses and testimony, and they put in these 5-page thousands of dollars that cost these advertisements inside the Jewish newspapers. The whole thing of on a nice and stuck of b'chdei l'kabel yeshua. That a Jew gives tzedakah in order to get a yeshua. That was, what can this mitzvah do for me? Oysim skul lezu kedei lahaviach to'elus kazu or acheres. Oysim skul lezu, we're going to do this skula, whatever it might be. You know, say shir shirim 40 days and run around Kever Rachel and do jumping jacks for by Kiddush Levana, whatever it might be. And then you're going to have this guaranteed, they're already guaranteed you're going to have this Yeshua. Kedei l'arviach to'elus kazu acheres. Kilu, the inyan of doing a mitzvah is to get something out of it, to benefit. Harei shetzir chayenu, the axis of our lives, the focus of life, v'akesha b'neinu l'ben bari olam husavi v'hamachshava, is becoming more and more, our whole Yiddishkeit is becoming more and more, this machshava revolves around this thought, ma anachni yecholim l'kabel mimenu, what can we get from God? That's why there's so many people that are so tzibrochen, because they understand already, I'm davening for this and I didn't get it, and I did all the schools and I did whatever I was supposed to and it didn't work. And all of these things, like Yiddishkeit became like a rabbit's foot, like a lucky charm. It's supposed to make your life gewaldig and everything's supposed to be wonderful. That's what I meant, that's what I said before that's a Christian mahalach, it's not a Jewish mahalach. What do I get for my God? How do I appease God so that He's not going to be angry at me and He'll give me this or give me that, and here's my list of things that I want? The whole Yiddishkeit, what can I get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Not what can I do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What can I do for Hashem? Hadaygev HaMachshove Shalonu, this concern and this thought that we have, that we should gain some benefit from the Torah and the mitzvahs that we're mekayim, only roitzum shahakol yen na'im umasog va'arev lonu. We want that everything should be pleasant and sweet for us. Na'im umasog va'arev lonu. So they have to have a minyan for every single 10 people that want that davening, so they'll have to have 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, 8:30, and they look at it as some big mila that's in that neighborhood. You could even daven someplace at 10 o'clock in the morning, so that it works out for that guy that doesn't go to work, without those 10 people who are... It has to be good for us. The davening, I'll go to davening if it works for me, if it fits into my schedule. If Yontif is 2 days, then I could try to be happy. But 3 days, that's not for me. The 3 day yontif. Shakol yenoim mosuk v'arev lanu. It's all Yiddishkeit that's supposed to be serving us. Lehan esina labari oilon. He zu shema'an yenes osanu. It's not our giving and doing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that interests us anymore. Zu yasiba l'chayso ha-simcha shalonu. Shabbat Tavis says, this is the underlying cause for this feeling of emptiness and lack of joy in our being Jews or Shabbat Tavis Mitzvahs. Havi Aymer, what this means is the following. Hamakar l'simcha, what's the source of simcha? Hamakar l'simcha hu davka hayhisgabrus kineged hamafriya. Any time that any one of us ever had to do something, we did something, A, because we decided to do it, we made the choice to do it, and there were obstacles that were holding us back, and there were many, many reasons that we didn't have to do that, and we could have had many justifications to rationalize why we didn't do something, but we pushed ahead and we did it because we believed it's the right thing to do, and we wanted to do the right thing. And we were misgaber on the keneged hamafriya. There was something in the way. And we had to make a ma'amatz. Why did we make the ma'amatz, that effort? Not because of what people are going to think. That's not what we're talking about. Not because of anybody else's expectations. But the ma'amatz was made because I want to do this. I want to do this because I believe that this gives nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not because it means that my tefillah is going to be answered, or that I'm going to become rich, or that that there's going to be yeshua for the person who's sick, or any of those things. But because it's the right thing to do, and the person had to be misgaber to make that choice. When a person exercises his bechira chavshis, his free choice, that bechira opens the way for a feeling of tremendous simcha. When somebody does something without bechira, either because he is expected to do that, he's forced to do that, or he has an ulterior motive that's not really coming from within himself, not because he be'emes wants to do it, but because he thinks that if I do this, then I'm going to get this, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that. There's no simcha in that. As far as getting prizes for one's Yiddishkeit, if the prizes don't come, then it's fakir. The person is disappointed and is bitter. How come I didn't get the prize? Could you ever imagine? I don't know. Again, different homeless people come from, but I'm saying myself. If my father tell me to, like when I was a kid, to go mow the lawn. I don't mean with an electric lawnmower. I mean with a regular. But I have ever asked my father, and what am I going to get for it? I mean, to think of asking my father, what do I get if I do that? It wasn't part of our way of thinking. It was understood that you do that because it's the right thing to do. Your father asked you, you do that. I felt like going to play baseball at that time, or go to hang out with the friends. It wasn't, what do I get from this? I didn't grow up where we had a whole system of prizes and smiley stickers and candies and coins and dollars and prizes and so on for doing the right thing. You do the right thing because you're supposed to do the right thing. And within yourself, growing up means to be motivated to do the right thing and want to do the right thing and to make that choice that's right. When a person does that, there's a tremendous simcha. Ha'is'atzmus k'neged ha'meniyos. Dafke, when you have to strengthen yourself and to fight against obstacles, to fight against whatever's in your way. V'lo ha'noichus v'ha'kalus. Not that it's comfortable or easy. A person, dafke, remembers like this, like sitting in the sukkah tavshin gimel. Thank God we didn't have to go through that. But a person remembers that they had to make a Shabbos someplace. They got stuck along the road and they had to go someplace and they had to make some crazy little Shabbos and they barely had what to eat and they were able to put together a little Shabbos someplace in the middle of nowhere. But they kept Shabbos. Even if they had to stay, they couldn't open the door because it would turn on the electricity. Whatever. And they made that Shabbos. That's a Shabbos where there was a simcha that is greater than the simcha of regular Shabbos, sitting in a beautiful home. Because it's dafka not the noichus and the kalus, the comfort and the ease with which we're able to do a mitzvah. So with all of the new ways of being mekayim mitzvahs, so you don't have to stand around rolling the cotton to make a wick for the menorah. It comes in the little eggshells, everything comes all ready. You could just put it in. And probably this year they're going to come out with a guy that comes with it, like a guy that delivers it to your door and he'll set it up for you. So you shouldn't have to get your hands, or even the oil on the outside, you shouldn't have to get on the outside, on your fingers from the outside of the jar. They're going to have a guy that will set it up for you to put a sukkah. Talking last week, we were talking about that sukkah b'chlal. You know, to build our own sukkahs, it's the start of the prefab, and then of course from there it went to just being able to afford to hire people to put up the sukkah, and we've all in Chutz La'aretz, I heard to say there's still a difference, but it's still different. But how could this mitzvah be easy, simple, its way of disturbing my life or interrupting my life will be kept to a minimum. It shouldn't disturb my life. It shouldn't stare my life. But I can be able to sit in the sukkah. It shouldn't stare my life. And whatever else, the lulav, you don't have to stand. We don't have to stand anymore. Baruch Hashem, it's wonderful. I'm not complaining. We stand for hours trying to find hadassim, because for every 500 hadassim, you would find one or two that were good. We have to stand for hours with hadassim. Now it comes in a airtight sealed thing from Svasa somewhere, and you just take it and they put it aside. But it's not the same. It's not the same araminim. It's not the same. There was somebody that came to me, some very fine person. He called me on the phone like 2 years ago about something, a Shabbos, which I see in the newspapers. And he wanted to know what I thought about it. He wanted to come show it to me. And I said, I'm not interested in this. I'm not going to talk to my balabatim about a Shabbos switch. He said, but they had it approved by this posting and that posting. It's a delayed reaction. And how he explained to me in halacha that it's 100%. I said, one thing that we still have is that you know not to turn on a... You have to have a Shabbos clock, not to press a button. So that also you're going to take away? That you'd be able to go into the room, and he says you could go through, you could press the button, and you wait, and then 4 seconds later the light goes on, because it works with a grammar, you know, an indirect way, and you could have the light go on. I see it's advertised in all the places, and I said, I b'shum oifen do not support such a thing. I want you to make a lot of money, you should be happy, but this to me is another way of taking away Shabbos. It's finished Shabbos. What's left of Shabbos? What do we have left of Shabbos? It's nothing to take away Shabbos. Lachen kol oid onu mechapsim kalus v'noiches b'avodas Hashem. The more that we look for comfort b'avodas Hashem, kitzurei derech and shortcuts, v'lo yismay deduyos me'izgaros, and we try to do everything we can to avoid challenges, contending with the challenges that get in the way. Onu nishka be'etzev shuv v'shuv. A Yiddishkeit is not bringing us happiness. It's not bringing us a feeling of accomplishment that comes working hard and making a choice because it's the right thing to do. V'davka ha'koishi v'ha'ismaidus mi'atzvim simcha. In life, is davka when you have to work hard for something and there are difficulties and challenges, that's miyatzeh simcha. That is what brings this tremendous joy. Tremendous joy. Sometimes you have a parent that deals with a particularly difficult child and is able to see the peiros of those years of putting in tremendous koiches into that child. The relationship with that child is unique. And the simcha that the parent has is a simcha that can't be measured. Even though from the outside people would think, it's such a chmonis, you had to deal with this kid, and the kid's such a hard kid, and what you had to go through. But when that child is standing under the chuppah, and the parent knows, the mother knows, the father knows, that it's because of all of the years that they put into that, and all the hard work that they put into that kid, and the simcha that they have when that child is doing well, and when that child is happily married and is moving forward with his or her life, the simcha is immeasurable. It's the simcha of accomplishing, of doing something, of making the decisions that were needed in order to overcome all of the challenges and to push forward. There's a friend of mine who had a son, and they told them at the very beginning that the kid is autistic, it's nothing to do about it, it's very bad, there's nothing to do. And he was not Miss Yai. She got a whole team of people and volunteers, and he went talking and asking, and doctors and psychologists and all kinds of things he got. And Baruch Hashem, it's not the child's not 100%, what they call now is 100%. It's 100%. But the child has some difficulties, but there's no comparison to what would have been. And the simcha that the parents have with such a child, it's unbelievable. Dugmane Sefes. And this is what I was talking about a little bit last week. It's uncomfortable to talk about some of these things, Rabban, but for this, it's important to be honest, that we see, and I was talking about this last week, that the kind of simcha that we would expect to see on the part of guys that are learning, that have the schus to be learning all the time, that there are many who have tremendous simcha, but there are many who don't. Even though you say you have such a schus, and we tell them these are the best years of your life, you're able to sit, no one's bothering you, you're sitting in yeshiva, could there be any bigger simcha than that? These are the best years of your life. And why don't they feel the simcha? That's because it used to be that to learn beyond a certain point in life was a matter of choice, and you had to go against a whole world, and you had to go and be a person that was self-motivated. And once that was taken and it became standard procedure for everybody to learn on and on and on, so then it's very hard to feel simcha. It's very hard to feel simcha. There are different cheshbonos for learning, and the cheshbon is not coming from deep within the person necessarily. Sometimes it is, many times it is, but many times it's not coming from deep within the person. And the outcome of that, as I spoke about last week a little bit, the outcome of that is you see hundreds and thousands of young men that are walking around without a simcha chayim, dragging their feet through through the going through the motions of being in yeshiva, coming late, leaving early, every little thing that comes there, they can't go to learn, or they don't feel well, or they're not up to it, or they had a yerida, they had a nefila, yerida, nefila. I got the shirim, you have these bachim that they come, and I'm giving you, you know, the shirim, bachim will disappear for 2 months. What happened to this bachim? Where was he? What happened to him? So then his friends tell him he's having a yerida. He's having a yerida. Can you imagine in any other profession in life that a person doesn't show up to work? And then he asks, what happened to the guy? He's supposed to be at work today. The guy's a doctor, a lawyer, something. He's having a yerida. Is there anything like that in the world? He's having yeridas, having yeridas. And where do you find anywhere else where people have as many yeridas? Why are there so many yeridas? What's going on? What's so hard about their lives that they're having such big yeridas? What's so hard? What's making them so miserable that they're having so many yeridas? The Torah says, they don't want to do that. They don't want to sit all day in the Beis Medrash. A significant percentage don't want to do that. They don't want to be there. And if you don't want to do something, you're not motivated, you lose your self-respect. I'm not even talking about a married couple where the wife sees if the husband's not really into it. And there's no simcha that comes with doing something you don't want to do. Not only that, but it was made so easy for you. You didn't have to overcome any obstacles in order to get to that Beis Medrash. What did you have to do? What did you have to do with the parents all throwing our money at the boys to go and when they're married, go. How many do you want? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, go and get an apartment and get this, and it should be good, and then to send them off with the business class, whatever you want. So what did he have to do? What did he have to do? He had to put a mezuzah on the door in Arzai Abira? In Malas Dafni, he had to even put a mezuzah on the door. He had to find a hammer and a nail to put in the mezuzah. Didn't have to do that either. So where should the simcha come from? Unless there's a fire inside. This is Baruch Hashem, there are many like that. But if the fire is not inside, then it's the sukkah of Tavshin Ayin Gimel. It's not the sukkah of Tavshin Gimel. Now we see an example of this in history. Dugman Yosef is the bottom of page Peivav. Kasha Adam writes a lachza b'tshuva l'sakin his drachim. When a person wants to do tshuva and to correct his ways, miyad mizdachelas b'libay talas ayeush, the right away starts to crawl, to creep around inside of his heart, the worm of yeush, of despair, umekasemes kol chelka taiva, and it eats away at the heart. Why? Because he right away starts to think back, yeah, I tried to be good many times in my life. Many times in my life, I decided I was going to do the tshuva, I was going to stop this aveira, or I was going to stop this, or I was going to do something that I wanted to. Many times, I already decided I tried to do tshuva, and nothing came of it. And right away, these memories of his past failures of tshuva, they lower, they crush his spirit, and they break his ruts, and he doesn't want to try because he looks back and he failed so many times. Tshuva's hard. He feels that tshuva's hard, and he hasn't succeeded. He's failed, and he doesn't have a cheshek to fail again. No one likes to fail time after time. Now in history we find a famous example of this. At the end, when Golas Bavel was over, and when Ezra Nechemi came back, if the 70 years of Golas came back, Broishim Ezra Sofer, so how you Bnei Yisrael Shvurim Umeduchtochim, Bnei Yisrael, the Yidden that came back, which was only a small chalik, came back. And those Jews that came back were very tzibrochen. Was poina aleim Nechemya, so Nechemya turns to them, v'oimer lehem, page Pezayin, v'atem al te'atzvu. And Nechemya says to these Jews, he saw that they were all like out of it. They weren't excited. And he said, v'atem al te'atzvu, don't be sad. Ki chedves Hashem, because the joy of Hashem, hi me'uschem, that's your strength. Ichlu mamtakim, go and eat delicious food, sweet things, ushesum hashmanim, and to drink good things, ki kodesh hayom la'adeinu, because this day is holy to Hashem. That was Rosh Hashanah. That was the first Rosh Hashanah after Golas Bavel. Now they came back, remember, Yerushalayim was a charm. Everything was a mess. Physically, it was a mess. And in Ruchnius, it was a terrible, terrible mess. Many, many, many Jews were married to Goyim. Because we know, he mentions in the middle also, we know, they had to break up these marriages. There's Avodah Zarah, they had Avodah Zarah all over the place. Till now, the excavations and the digs around Yerushalayim, they still find Avodah Zarah. They were Jewish Avodah Zarah. Jews that had Avodah Zarah all around, all over the place. B'chazal mevuah, shadov v'zeh esrachish b'yom Rosh Hashanah. That this conversation between Ezra and Nehemiah and Bnei Yisrael took place that first Rosh Hashanah. Bnei Yisrael hashovim and hagarlo, the Jews who had come back from Bavel, hezboinenu betachnis achodesh v'matzavim, and they were thinking about, they were looking at this sudden change, this very sudden change that their life had taken. Heim choshu asa yirida haruchanis b'mloi uza. You know, they hadn't been thinking about it for a long time. They just kept on going and doing things, and they married out, and they were doing all kinds of affairs, and they hadn't really thought about the terrible yirida in ruchanis. But now it hit them. It all hit them. Ovalhem rak shivim shana. Only 70 years had passed. Vein hidardiru lematzav kaikasha. And they had fallen to such a terrible, difficult place. Only 70 years. But they looked at themselves, and for the first time in all of the years, those years, they were disgusted. They said, well, look what's become of us. At shechela godom ha'am nosu nashim nachrios. A significant percentage of the Jews had married out. They had non-Jewish wives. They married out. We're not talking about little Averilach. We're talking about they married out. So they were very depressed. Plus, you know, it's just that he read from the Sefer Torah. He opened up the Sefer Torah. He's reading from the Sefer Torah, and they became very, very depressed. This you know, we can't do this. And at that very crucial moment in history, Nehemiah proposed to them a different way. Derech Acheres, Chadasha, a new way. This is what we have to do in our generation. Shetoitzi Oysam min Hamatzav, to take them out of the matzav that they were in. Ki kodesh hayom la'adoneinu. As Nehemiah said, we're not going to talk about that right now. We're not going to talk about all this, all the bad stuff. Right now it's Rosh Hashanah. Ki kodesh hayom la'adoneinu, and this day is kodesh, this day is holy. Hayom ezeh al tis'asku b'cheshmen ha'nefesh. Today, don't become caught up in a cheshmen ha'nefesh. Ubahal kor atzmus, and beating yourselves up. Misila ma'isen Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, there's no vidui in Rosh Hashanah. Right? We don't confess any sins in Rosh Hashanah. The yontiv of Rosh Hashanah is a yontiv that's filled with mloich al kor lulim kulo b'chvedecha. Yisimlech atar Hashem l'kelechon. The whole yontiv of Rosh Hashanah is filled with malchus, hamelech, everything's hamelech. There's no Hashem l'vagadna. There's no real cheshbon ha'nefesh and introspection. That's not the inyan of Rosh Hashanah. And as Nehemiah was telling them, Al te'asu, don't be sad. Chedvas Hashem himo'uschem, the joy of Hashem is your strength. Kodesh hayom la'adoneinu. Ein maskirim ched Rosh Hashanah. Ein maskirim ched. If you look in the Nusach Ari Siddur, in the Lubavitch Siddur, and Rosh Hashanah, in the Avidim Akeinu, they don't even say the first one, it says Chatan Levanacha. They take it out of the Lubavitch, it's not in the Lubavitch Amas. I don't know what the Sfaradim is saying. A lot of things, Sfaradim, Anus. Yeah, say chatan lecha. In the nusach every seder, they don't say chatan lefanecha. On Rosh Hashanah, don't say chatan lefanecha. Any other ones that have bechay? No. Don't talk about it in Rosh Hashanah. Chatan lefanecha. We have aser some mitzvah in Yom Kippur. We'll get to it, but but to be shaken out of our misery, to be revived from that numbness of chait and emptiness and sadness, it's not time for cheshbon nefesh. V'yayim hazeh aleichem luska davar echad. Today, it's one. The theme is one theme. It's Rosh Hashanah. There's one thing to think about in Rosh Hashanah. Not about yourselves. Not even about your aveiros. Not about yourselves. One thing. Kabbalas ol malchus shamayim. Hamelech. That's it. Kabbalas ol malchus shamayim. The Rebbeinu Shalom. You could give nachas ruach to Rebbeinu Shalom. It doesn't make a difference whatever you did in the past. Kabbalas ol malchus shamayim. The kabbal al atzmeinu mechadosh. To accept upon ourselves new. To start now. As Hashem is baruch, b'chol matzav, b'chol tnai. To mechadosh the melucha. Rosh Hashanah is not just the coronation of the king. Of course it's the coronation of Hashem, Yechi HaMelech, and we're all accepting upon ourselves that this day of Rosh Hashanah, since Rosh Hashanah was the day that Adam HaRishon was created, so it's the beginning of the Malchus. It's not just the beginning of Hashem's Malchus, it's the beginning of the person's Malchus. It's the beginning of the melucha of accepting upon oneself to be a servant of Hashem. And as a servant of Hashem, I can control myself. I can be in control of my life. I give myself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm in control of my life. So with the acceptance of Hashem's Malchus, and with taking one's focus off of oneself, and instead, HaMelech, and to enlist in that army and to join this Malchus of Melech Malchim HaMelechim, the person is empowered and he's able to be lifted to a different place that's higher than himself. And he's able to have the koiches that come with being an eved of such a king, of being a subject of Melech Malchim HaMelechim, of being in Hashem's Malchus. But the kleinikheit and the narishkeit of life don't pull him away from the king, and don't pull him away from what he has to do in his life. I think I was told you a few years ago, I remember, I heard this myself from Rabbi Yosef Soloveitchik. That he was saying that there was a town that he was in, and in that town they had, there was a besmedrish, and on top of the besmedrish there was a room where they used to go, you know, the Bali Musa, the people with Musa, they used to go, the Musaniks, they used to like to go by themselves and to beat up on themselves. And Rabbi Yeshiva said that he was once sitting and learning downstairs in his manners, and he heard somebody from upstairs, one of these guys, was screaming, I'm a ganav, I'm a rush, I'm a liar, I'm a this, I'm a... He was, every affair he was screaming at himself. And I remember Rabbi Yeshiva was saying, I. He said, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, I never heard in my life such an egomaniac. I did this affair, I. Everything's I. Isn't there anything else besides you? The Briskers don't like the Musa whole thing, you know. I. It was Rosh Hashanah, Ezra and Nechem, you're saying to the Shavei Tzion, he was saying to them, Eden, stop thinking about yourselves today, you know. Stop thinking about yourselves. Not even about our Aveiros? No, not even about your Aveiros. So what are you supposed to think about? Chedvus Hashem Himuluschem, Hamelech. To be mechadish the melucha. To mechadish the melucha. To overcome everything that's in your way. And to make the right choice to vote for Melech Malchim HaMelechim. And to enlist in his army. To become a member of Malchus Hashem. When a person does that. And he makes that choice. Then there's a different kind of simcha that fills every single molecule in his body that fills his life. And once the person has that great joy and that simcha of I've made this choice, I've decided to do this, so then he'll have the strength to do whatever he needs to do to clean up his life. That's the same true in Yom Kippur. They don't have the koyches to take care of everything, to fix everything up. To make an unconditional Kabbalah Salman Chushamayim. Unconditional. We don't go to any of the Pratim on Rosh Hashanah. We don't go into any of the specific Kabbalahs and Mekabal this and Mekabal that. No. It's a very, very big change to change the direction of one's life. Kabbalah Salman Chushamayim. And that Kabbalah is B'chol Matzah B'chol Tanayim. I exist to serve the Bari Olam, and whatever that's going to take, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do my best to do that. Whether or not I get the shidduch after 40 days, as was guaranteed in the newspaper, whether it works for me. Is this even comfortable for me? Is it easy for me? That's not the question. Is it easy for me? That's not the point of Yiddishkeit. Is it easy for you? Do you enjoy it? What does it do for you? That's not the point. Whether or not the result of what I do, whether as a result of becoming this Eved, it works out for me, or if it's difficult for me. Because this form tells us that we see very often that Davka, when a person is makabel upon himself Omar HaShemayim in a real and sincere way, that Davka then he goes through the most difficult nisyonis of his life to see whether that's a sincere Kabbalah, whether it's real or it's not real. So sometimes Davka, when a person makes that Kabbalah to be an Eved, sometimes Davka then it becomes very, very hard. He goes through difficulties, but the person is not deterred by that. Whether it works out well for me, or what, or it's rav akosha, it's difficult. Kabbalah me'ein zu, he lo chazar b'tshuva greida. This is not just doing tshuva. He kabbalah me'ein kabbalos shel ger habala his gaya. This resembles the change in life that a ger has taken upon himself when he's Mizgaya. And he goes into that now, the inyan of a person, a ger, that's brought to his Gaya. K'mayshu Shaninu, the bottom of the second half of Pezayin. Tana Rabbanu, ger shebrought to his Gaya b'zman hazeh. The Gemara says that if a person comes to convert nowadays, oymim lo, we tell the ger, and I was zeichet to be a number of times in a bezdin, that was performing a geris, and to be at the mikveh with the ger, when it's repeated, all these things are repeated, and the ger is asked the following. We say to the ger, "Mari isa shabosel hazgaya. Why did you decide to be mizgaya? Like, what got into your head that you want to be mizgaya?" Don't you know that the Jewish people in our days are disgraced and are despised and are Miturofen, that we're tormented, the Yisur and Barnele, and we go through terrible suffering. If this ger answers by saying, "I know that, but ve'eini kedai, and I'm unworthy of all of that suffering." In other words, I know the danger of becoming a Jew, and I know the difficulties of becoming a Jew, and I'm not kedai. It would be the greatest schus. And I was actually to hear this in the mouth of Igyaris. She said this. There would be no greater schus. This is what she said. There would be no greater schus for me to be taken and to be singled out and to be killed as a Jew. There would be no greater schus. Ve'eni kedai. Then mekablan isai. We accept this person's geiris. Pirush Rashi, ve'eni kedai. What does it mean? Rashi explains, what does it mean, ve'eni kedai? I'm not worthy. Ve'eni roi l'shtatev b'tzerosim. I'm not roi, I'm not even worthy to be mishtatef, to be part of the tzaras. Umiitain ve'eskelekach, like the Gera said, miitain halavai, I should be zoicha to be on that madrega, to suffer together with the Jewish people. And the Gera is not talking about 3 day yontif, you understand? To be worthy to suffer with the pimples and the oily hair, of the 3-day yontif. Claimer get tzedek kashubola kabbalo atzma is dasa emes. When a get tzedek comes to accept upon himself Yiddishkeit, whom a kabbal gam amanas sheiloi tzaris v'sevel k'mam Yisrael. Part of the geiris that's required, the Gemara tells us, is that the geir understands that there's a very strong likelihood and possibility that as a result of your decision, you're going to suffer a lot. The Jews don't have it easy in this world. And it could be nice one day, but the next day they could be rounding you up someplace. And you don't know what's going to be. And that's a chelik of the geiris. In other words, that transformation requires a decision that is made from that point within the person that says it's not for me. It's so much not for me that any kid die if I'm going to be tortured and killed for this decision. Any kid die. Because that's not why I'm doing this, that it should be good for me. And that's why he brings right now, in a minute, that at certain times we don't accept Geirim, when we suspect them of being insincere. He's not saying, I'm a kabbal upon myself to be a Jew, and I want to be a geir, because why? Because Kishke and Choland, even on a Thursday night, they're so Jews that have, even on a Thursday night, I want to be part of that. Or I see that when you the Jews are rich and Jews are successful and so on and so forth. That's not why this person becomes a ger. Adarabba, that's why I was mentioning a minute ago. Kvanitzka alocha b'Rambam. The Rambam tells us b'feirish. L'fichach loy kiblu bezna gerim loy kol yimei David u'shloim. That the bezna was not makabel gerim all of the time of David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech when they were kings. Shema min apachad chozru, because at that time the Jews were very strong and there were people that were afraid that if they didn't convert, that they were going to end up being driven out by Am Yisrael or being killed. So it could be that min apachad chozru. We made Shlomo Shema b'shvil hamalchus v'atoy v'agdula shohei b'Yisrael. In the days of Shlomo, we were very, very wealthy and things were very good. And it could be that this person was converting because he had an ulterior motive, that he wanted to jump onto the bandwagon and have it good with the Jews, because that was one of the few times in history it was taka good. If there's a chash that there's something else that's in it for this person, in other words, he's becoming a Jew because there's a skula, because it says in the newspaper that if you'll become a Jew, we're gonna have 25 great rabbis with white beards. They're gonna pray for you, and you're gonna become rich like other Jews, and you're gonna get a house in Back Lawrence, and that's why he converts. Ain't mekabel myself. If there's a chash. So we have to have a Yiddishkeit like that. So im legoy, just another minute. Im legoy nitna schus les gaya. If the guy has the schus to convert, if he wants to convert, vaday shonu bnei Yisrael chem les gaya. Certainly we have the right and we have the schus to also to be misgaya. There's a famous thing that's in the diary of the Rebbe from Piazetzna, where on his 40th birthday he said he wants to be Mizgai, he wants to become a Jew. He says, he looks at himself and he says, to daven better, I daven Baruch Hashem. To learn, I don't waste any time. So what could I be makabel upon myself? He said, I'd be makabel upon myself, I want to be a Jew. This great tzaddik said that, I want to be a Jew, I want to convert to be a Jew. What does it mean to be Mizgai? It means to accept upon oneself to be a Jew. Not because it's a schooler, not because what's it going to do for me, not because it's going to help me, not because it gives me a feeling it's such a cool feeling to fit into a crowd and to be part of a certain chevra, not because of anything else. Not what I'm going to benefit or profit by being a Jew. In this world or the next world. Oh, yeah, I'm going to have such a good year. It's going to be a gewaltig year. No, it might be a lousy year. And if I'm mitzvahs, then I'm not going to have any tzaros. There's no guarantee for that. That you're not going to need tzaros because you're mekabel mitzvahs. That's why these things that they're writing up is filled with such sheker. What kind of, who makes guarantees like that? What, a Navi came down and said that you're going to have a Shidduch? A Navi came down and said that this person is going to have a Yeshua? They make it seem like it's guaranteed you're going to have a Yeshua, and they prey upon simple-minded Eilech people, Tumistic people that have Tsaras, and think that they're going to send in a check, or they're going to call up the 24-hour hotline, and life is going to become good? That's what Yiddishkeit is? That's the Yiddishkeit of Billy Carter. That's Yiddishkeit. That's Pentecostal Christianity. That's what that is. That's not Yiddishkeit. Ela adrabe, hakabalos al malchus shemayim peches, sheli tia ba'ofen shel b'chol mo'edecha. Adrabe, to be misgaya to be a Jew, even though we're Hashem, we're born Jewish, we're Jews, but to be misgaya means a kabbalos al malchus shemayim. That's my kabbalos al malchus shemayim. I want to do this. I want to learn. I want to keep this mitzvah. I want to do this chesed. Not because like now they have the latest thing, I don't know if it's in your neighborhood now, they have on the resume that the bas mitzvah girl has to go, she has to put in a certain amount of chesed hours, that she made a thing that they're sending shalach monis to the soldiers or something. Christ. You know, chesed hours, all these things. Chesed hours. So I'm not arguing against chesed hours. But if you think about the emes, what it means to the tzur of a Jew, that the inyan of chesed hours, it's bizyonis. It's bizyonis, chesed hours. Chesed points. The captain, the head of chesed. That it became almost, God forbid, it became, not that the intention of the girls or the boys that are doing these things, but it became almost a thing like, if I want to get into this profession, how will it look on my resume? You know how rare it is that I meet a boy that will say to me, like all of his friends are saying, you know, you really need to go to the yeshiva? And he says, I don't really learn well in the yeshiva. I have a yeshiva where I have a rebbe. It's not a well-known yeshiva, but I have a rebbe there. And I'm learning there, or I learn there, and I feel it's very good for me. And he'll say, well, then the guys tell him, well, what's going to be with your shidduch? What about this skinny, pretty, rich girl? What's going to be with you if you're not learning in the yeshiva? How rare it is to find a boy that will say, I don't care. The boy Shem will take care of me. I just want to learn, and that's where I learn best. That doesn't mean to say other people can't learn good in other yeshivas. All the yeshivas are good. But for him, that bacha says, I don't care. But what about what people think? What about what they're going to say? What about the shidduch? And he'll be under tremendous pressure from his parents. Why don't you go to the yeshiva? Some years ago, I was involved in trying to set up a certain yeshiva in Yerushalayim. It didn't work out long. It didn't really work out. For a little bit, it did. And there's some nice things that happened, but it didn't work out long. It was hard to get the boys to come because everything was, this is not the yeshiva. It's not the yeshiva, and what are people going to say? Because it was for that age, you know, when it was time to go to Shidduchim, so what's going to be? This is the main, the boys wanted to go, the parents didn't want them to go. It's not the yeshiva. What's going to be? We have to have it on your resume that you went to the yeshiva. If it's not on your resume, ki'ilu, everybody in the yeshiva, ki'ilu, ki'ilu. If you know what's going on in the yeshivas, ki'ilu. But it has to say that. So you also have to have a certain amount of chesed hours on your resume. You have to have a certain amount of things that it shows that you fit into something. As far as your own motivation is concerned, and who you are, and why you were put into this world, and what's the tachlis of being in this world. To be misgaya means, I want to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. B'chol ma'edecha, with everything that I have. B'chol mida u'mida, no matter what happens to me. Not because it's going to be good for me, not that it's going to work out for me, not that it says that on my resume, and because of that I'm going to be able to do this and do that, and do this and do that. Not for that at all. B'chol mida u'mida shemayidin lecha, havi mayid lebe ma'ayid ma'ayid. I give thanks to Rabbi Shalom for giving me the schus to serve you. Period. That's what it means. Hamelech. That's what Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim is. That's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. That's what Hamelech is all about. I mean, Shem will continue next, obviously next Monday night is Tishba, so we'll continue as Hashem the following Monday night. Shkoyach.